You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson, in for Veronica Rickard.
It's time for Food Friday. Cookbooks can be a great resource and a great read, but what makes one really stand out from the rest? Call in now at 800-642-1234. Tell us your favorite cookbook, maybe the one you always go back to. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Joining us now is Anna Thomas-Bates. She's a freelance writer who blogs at TallGrassKitchen.com. She also writes a weekly column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel's food section, and she writes for Edible Medicine and for Brava Magazine. Anna, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
So, in your opinion, what makes a great cookbook?
Well, first and foremost, well-tested recipes. Every once in a while, you bump into a cookbook that maybe didn't spend as much time testing its recipes as it should have, but when they work, they're great. I also love head notes with great stories, and wonderful photography is always a bonus too.
And is it how a cookbook is organized and laid out important for how useful it is?
You know, it is, but these days you see almost everything. You see some that are organized by season, others that are organized by, you know, what type of meal it is. So you really see everything, and especially since there's so many different types of cookbooks these days, ones that are, you know, span the gamut of everything and others that are focused on a single ingredient or a single type of food.
I definitely notice when there is not a good index in the back,
because
to be able to go and see, well, I've got some corn. What do you got for corn? And if there's not a good index, I'm not too likely to use that.
Very true. That's extremely helpful.
Now, Anna, I'm kind of ruthlessly practical when it comes to cookbooks. I want to use them to cook things, but a lot of them are for reading, and they have stories and travel experiences and stuff like that. Is that fun? Do you enjoy that kind of backstory? A cookbook as literature?
I do. I read them as books. I sit down at night, I get a cup of tea or a cocktail, and I'll sit down and read them. I love it.
And looking at how a cookbook is organized, or kind of the production value, how important do you think photos are in a cookbook?
You know, they're a definite bonus. I love to have them because visually I like to read the ingredients of a recipe and see a picture, and it helps me get an idea of what I'm about to embark on. But I'm not going to hold it against a cookbook. And a lot of cookbooks these days are doing really cool things with, you know, almost comic book graphics or illustrations. So there's lots of different designs.
We're talking about cookbooks. You can share your favorite cookbook, your go-to cookbook, at 800-642-1234, as we talk to Anna Thomas-Bates, blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. And we'll go to a caller now with Marie in Genesee. Marie, hi.
Hi.
Oh, what's your cookbook, Marie?
It's called An Occasion to Gather, and it's from the Milwaukee Junior League.
And tell us about it. Why is this a good cookbook?
Every recipe that I have ever tried, it comes out perfect. And we were talking about pictures, and their graphics are beautiful, and you actually see what you're going to end up with.
Marie, thank you so much for sharing that one. And Anna, she said the recipes come out perfect. And I don't know, all cookbooks maybe aren't created equal. We've talked to people from America's Test Kitchen mm-hmm. about how they try to account for what the user might actually do with their recipe. Is there a big variety of outcome from one cookbook to another?
You know, there is, and since I write recipes myself in my cooking column, you have to write things very carefully and test them very carefully, but there's also a lot of differentiation in people's ovens and the weather and ingredients. So I spend a lot of time on email answering questions and helping people out, and sometimes it's just user error. They thought they were really doing it right, but, you know, there's just certain tweaks. But well-tested recipes are definitely a must, and America's Test Kitchen is always a classic go-to.
Let's go back to the phones, and Gigi in Madison is up next. Hi, Gigi.
Hi.
Hi. What's your favorite cookbook?
The A to Z Mac Sack Cookbook.
And what is that exactly?
Ben Hunter's Brussels Sprouts.
Ah, and so is Ben Hunter's Brussels Sprouts your favorite recipe in that book?
Yes, it is.
And what do you like about it? Because you sound like maybe you're a kid. How old are you, Gigi?
9 years old.
So I have to say, I'm guessing there are a lot of 9-year-olds who Brussels sprouts would not be their favorite recipe. What is it about Ben Hunter's Brussels sprouts that you love?
Well, I love the taste because you use apple cider vinegar. Oh. And apple apple cider for it. And it just has this really sharp flavor with the crunchiness of the Brussels sprouts. And I really, really like that because I like the texture and I like the taste.
And so, do you cook them yourself?
I do most of the cooking, and my mom helps me.
Well, you sound like a chef in the making. You seem to have a really good palate since you're bringing in that acidity and you like texture with the crunch. So bravo.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gigi. Well, actually, Gigi brought up a great point because one of my favorite cookbooks I was telling Rob earlier is called The Cook Along Book, and I got it when I was probably about Gigi's age, and it shows there are many, many stains, and some of the pages are stuck together, and they're very basic but really good recipes, and I still go back to do the beef stew recipe. They actually have a recipe for making your own pancake mix, which I've kind of fancied up and I actually use to give as gifts. And it's a great cookbook, and it actually makes me laugh every time I use it because in the middle of a recipe, all of a sudden in all caps, it'll say, be careful with that knife, or make sure you ask for help with that hot pot, or have you washed your hands recently? It's a kid's cookbook, but it's a really great go-to basic cookbook.
I love that story, and it's just it's such a feeling of empowerment for kids to have some control over the menu and the recipes you're choosing, not to mention helping with the cooking.
And Anna, before we go back to our callers, I want to ask you to name some names here. What are a couple of your favorite cookbooks to sit down and read, for one, with that coffee or cocktail, depending on the time of day, and your favorite ones to cook with?
Oh, well, my cookbook is a little, excuse me, my collection is a little embarrassing. I have into the hundreds of cookbooks, and I love them. So I always get the new ones because they come out in spring and fall. And for new ones this year, the one that I wrote about in my column last week is a cookbook called Near and Far by Heidi Swanson. And Heidi Swanson is a blogger out of San Francisco, and her blog is called 101 Cookbooks, and she has beautiful photography, and she's vegetarian. And her recipes are very simple and well-written, but they have such surprising combinations, things that you'd think, why didn't I think of this before? But you really never did think of it before. And the recipe I featured in my column is called a dried fruit salad, and it has dates and apricots and parsley and olive oil and lemon and salt. And it's just something I never would have put together, but it's delicious.
Let's go back to the phones, and Jennifer in Columbus joins us. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi.
I have my favorite cookbooks to use are the ones from the Church Cookbooks or Kiwanis Club or Lions Club. You know, something where you have many contributors, but they're the ordinary people contributors. I love them because the people don't contribute a recipe unless it is their favorite and it is a no-fail recipe.
I love those too, Jennifer, and I love just the whole history behind just the Junior League cookbook mentioned before and the Church cookbooks and the Company cookbooks. There's such history and so much realness there, and they're a lot of fun to read. And I like to go find my grandmother's and my parents' old ones and find there's a lot of fun recipes and history there.
Yeah, on the Central Time Facebook page, we've got links to a couple of archives, one here at UW, one I think at Michigan State it was, with a lot of older cookbooks. I was thumbing through them online, and they've got, you know, some that are typewritten, some that are handwritten recipes, some of Bucky Badger's favorite foods, I think circa 1955 among them. That tells us a story not just about food, but about the people who contribute those recipes, don't they, Anna?
It does, through the way the recipes are written, the actual design and layout of the books, through the ingredients. You can really see it's really a reflection or a snapshot of that time and age. It's really fascinating.
And so you said you have a couple hundred cookbooks. I'm guessing there are some that are in a more frequent rotation, but you know, how do you use them? Or are they partly just friends you have sitting near you?
Structural support, load-bearing cookbooks.
I don't own stock in this company, but last year I discovered a website called eatyourbooks.com. And basically what they've done is they've indexed cookbooks. And so if you buy a subscription, and I believe it's $35 a year, you can input all the titles of your collection and then it becomes a searchable database of all the recipes that you have in your cookbook. So I can type in roasted chicken, and it will give me a list of all the roasted chicken recipes in my cookbooks. And the recipe isn't in there. You still have to physically go get the book and look it up, but it'll tell you which book there's a recipe in and the basic ingredients in that book, so you can see if it's one when you want to dive into. So I can say that that has vastly increased the use of my cookbooks.
I think a lot of people just perked up their ears at this concept. What's the name of that again?
It's eatyourbooks.com.
Eatyourbooks.com.
It's, somebody's ears perked up here, Judith.
Yeah.
I usually don't shill for things, but it is fantastic and really helps me get kind of my money's worth from my cookbooks. And the other thing I like to do, and this my husband laughs at me, is I will kind of set a goal that I'm going to either cook from a new book every day for a week, or I'll take one book and cook from that for the week and just kind of make that my go-to and just dive into it and really explore it. And also when I first get books, I go through it immediately and I sticky note stuff that catches my eye so I can pick something up a couple months later and know that there's five or six recipes that I was already interested in.
We're talking about what makes a great cookbook and why they can be so much fun to look through. And we'd like to hear from you. Do you have a go-to cookbook that you couldn't cook without? What is it? What makes it so good? Call in at 800-642-1234 or post and find some interesting reference material on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're picking up our conversation with food writer Anna Thomas-Bates about what makes a cookbook great, and we'd like to hear from you.
What is your favorite cookbook? How did you find it? Do you have a lot of cookbooks, like Anna? Or do you have just a couple that you use a lot all the time? Call 800-642-123 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go right back to our callers with John in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. First off, I would like to say that Anna sounds a lot like my wife. My wife is always buried in a cooking book in the evening. And our favorite cookbook right now, at least, is Julia Child's The Way to Cook. And that's just a classic, but we love it because it has like one technique for whitefish and then ways to tweak it. So it really just shows you, you know, the full technique of what you're doing and then gives you lots of ideas to play on from that.
John, thanks a lot for the call. Julia Child, a classic there. Anna, how many of hers are in your collection?
Oh, I have quite a few. She's amazing. And her, and also kind of a good friend of hers who's still around today is Dory Greenspan, and they both write recipes in a similar way. They give you lots of information on technique, but you can tell that they want you to really learn it and then make that recipe your own. I feel like nothing would make them happier than to know you made their recipe so many times and made enough tweaks that you may have even forgotten where it originally came from.
And actually, her partner in crime on PBS, Jacques Pepin, has a brand new cookbook out just this fall called, I believe, Heart and Soul in the Kitchen.
Yes, he does, and I love him as well.
We'll go back to our callers. Abigail is on the line in Brooklyn. Abigail, hi.
Hi. One of my favorite cookbooks, and I like to give it as gifts often, is The New Vegetarian Epicure by Anna Thomas, and that's one that I've read cover to cover many times because she recreates all of her, it's by menu, and she recreates each menu and describes what it meant to her, and it's really fun to read, and all the recipes are great, not just for vegetarians either, of course.
And did this help get you into cooking, Abigail?
Yes, I checked it out from the library when I was 15, and I read it in one night, and I've been cooking ever since. I actually was a professional cook for 5 years when I was old enough.
Abigail, thank you so much. Great story. And the library reminds me, Anna, that that's how I've done a lot of my cookbook finding. I'll check it out from the library and, you know, I'll get maybe an Indian cookbook and learn how to do a couple basic things. Then I've got that in my repertoire, and that's probably all I'll take out of it. But that's a great way to try out those cookbooks.
It is, and a lot of times if there's a cookbook not there, a lot of libraries are looking for suggestions as well as to what you might like to see them order, but it's a good way to preview a book or just give it a try.
And Anna, should we say that you, Anna Thomas-Bates, are not Anna Thomas of the New Vegetarian Epicure?
That is true. Anna Thomas is a great vegetarian author, and I think she wrote one called Love Soup not too long ago that is a favorite of mine that has some beautiful recipes in it, and it's a good point just bringing her up. And Deborah Madison is another cook who cooks primarily vegetarian, But that shouldn't stop other people from getting the books. Those two are so talented that, you know, Vegetarian Cooking for Everyone by Deborah Madison is probably one of my most often used cookbooks, because it really has a great way to cook everything from waffles to soups, and it goes through almost every vegetable you can think of and a few great ways to prepare them.
Let's go back to the phones, and Russ joins us from Monroe. Hi, Russ.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The book that I use often isn't so much a cookbook. It's called Culinary Artistry, and I think one of the authors was Doran or something. But what it is a compilation of everything that goes with everything else and the basic ingredients in many different cuisines. So if you could look up chicken, it will tell you the things that, you know, go with chicken, which would be an awful lot. But there's very specific things that... these are things that go well. These are spices that go well. These are other vegetables that pair well. And it also it defines different cuisines, where you can go and say Taiwanese, you know, is mostly, you know, garlic, ginger, and scallions. So I use it as like a way to, if I'm creating something, I can go, okay, or let's say I have a piece of fish. I can go in and say, well, what goes great with this piece of fish? And it'll list all these different things, and some you never think of.
I'm glad you brought that one up. It's actually by Karen Page and her husband, Andrew Dornenberg, and they wrote Culinary Artistry, and they also wrote the Flavor Bible and the Vegetarian Flavor Bible, and it's like your next-level cookbook. And just like the caller said, you can look up almost any ingredient and find all the flavors that complement it, and it's a great resource. A lot of bartenders, a lot of chefs have all of these on their shelves, and they use these to kind of create new recipes, tweak recipes. You know, you can look up something like, you know, pheasant or cinnamon, and just see what are all the great things that go with those things. And it's a really handy tool if you're ready to start cooking kind of without a book or a recipe.
Russ, thanks a lot for the call. We're talking to Anna Thomas-Bates about cookbooks, what makes a good cookbook, and we're hearing your favorites at 800-642-1234. Barbara's with us next in Waupaca. Barbara, hi.
Hello. The book that I like very much is a book that I found in a used bookstore, and the title of it is Candy Hits by Sizzou Pitts. Hello?
Candy Hits. Okay, thank you. So it's a candy-making cookbook, Anna. Do you have any good, that's a specialized one, do you have any favorite candy-type cookbooks?
You know, I don't think I have any that are specifically candy. I have a ton of dessert and cookies and cakes and kind of general desserts, but nothing just for candy. And I couldn't quite hear the caller as to what the title was.
Candy Hits, H-I-T-S. So these are ones that are surefire hits, I guess. Candy Hits.
That sounds like one to look up.
We had a caller, John, in Madison, who said he's learning about vegan cooking using Angela Liddon's Oh, She Glows cookbook. He says there are excellent soups, stews, and desserts, and you wouldn't even think they were vegan.
Yeah, there's for all the different ways people are eating today, there are lots and lots of cookbooks to help them achieve their goals. There's lots of vegan cookbooks out right now. Last year was a huge year for vegan cookbooks. There's a lot of paleo cookbooks coming out this year, a lot of gluten-free. So if you're interested in experimenting with some of those recipes, there's some very talented authors who can kind of get you going down the right path. And even if you're not eating that way, I think it's a nice way to shake things up a little bit, try something new, and, you know, just mix it into your repertoire once or twice a week even.
Well, that's a great use for a cookbook when you're kind of exploring uncharted territory, whether it's a new dietary restriction or lifestyle choice or a new ethnic style of cooking. And I used to try this. I tried to recreate, you know, Indian, I'll say again, restaurant food at home without recipes. It was horrible. So
yeah.
that cookbook is a way to get in there and start figuring out the basics.
Yeah, and especially for things like the Asian and the Indian and Moroccan, there's just there's spice combinations and different spices that you might not have thought about. And with our incredible grocery stores these days and the spice stores, you can get your hands on a lot of those specialty ingredients, and then you can really do some amazing recreations at home.
So
it's a great way to travel abroad without taking a plane.
So, Anna, there are a lot of food-focused holidays on the horizon. Are there some cookbooks that you really like for maybe new twists on old favorites or dishes that are going to please a crowd?
Sure. For kind of classic holiday stuff, I actually go back a lot to my old magazine recipes, which aren't cookbooks, but from Bon Appetit and Food and Wine. They just have some really amazing classic holiday recipes. And if you're looking for something trendy, then a lot of the newer food sites who have put out cookbooks, like Food 52, are great ways to get those classics with maybe a little bit of a twist or a different technique. And then if you're really looking, especially if this is like your first Thanksgiving dinner, America's Test Kitchen is a great way to get all those sides and all those classics done as easy as possible with kind of no-fail recipes.
Anna, thanks a lot for joining us again.
Thank you so much.
That's Anna Thomas-Bates. She's a freelance writer who blogs at tallgrasskitchen.com. She writes a weekly column at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel food section. You can keep sharing your favorite cookbooks at the Central Time Facebook page.